With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Left Hand, Right Brain. I hope this podcast finds you well. And I know I say it every podcast, but I say it because I really mean it. For all your likes, your subscribes, your rates, and reviews, you know, appreciate. And you know, if you like what you're hearing on this Left Hand Right Brain podcast, you can check out all the other podcasts under the LHRB banner, such as Los Chupacabros, Let's Get Drunk and Talk About Your Wedding, or Help Me, I'm Scared, another podcast about horror films with Katie Bowman. They just did a review of Nope. It was pretty fun. And you can find all the backlogs of the Left Hand Right Brains, the Live Hand Right Brains, the Appetites podcast, the JDJOs, by going to lefthandrightbrainpod.com. And you can find all those podcasts on any podcatcher of your choice as well. But the main hub for everything Left Hand Right Brain is lefthandrightbrainpod.com. Said it twice. And if you're looking for some live comedy, you can check out Comedy Save the Video Star, the music video comedy mashup show that's happening at Western Sky Bar and Tap Room down there in Inglewood, way South Broadway. I get some of my favorite comics from all around town and beyond. You know, they pick some music videos. They talk about why they like it. They do some jokes for you. The yuck yucks, the japes, the whatnots. And then we watch the videos and riff over them, beef some butthead style. It's a real good time. The next Comedy Save the Video Star is going to be Thursday, August 18th at 8 p.m. We do a DIY TRL at 7:30. So you can come a little early, request some videos. We throw it on, and it goes on all the screens in the bar. It's a real fun time. All right, come on. Summer's almost over. Let's enjoy the weather and, you know, doing things out in the sunshine while we can. We're in the nice weather, you know. We're inside, but, you know, they have some garage doors there they open, and it's real fun. Western Sky Bar and Tap Room, you guys ever been there? It's a good place. You can get tickets for Comedy Save the Video Star by going to Eventbrite/South South Comedy Show. South South Broadway Comedy Show. Or you can just look up Comedy Save the Video Star. It'll all come up. $5 tickets. Totes worth it. Thank you so much. And that money just goes towards paying the comics. You know, the venue kind of makes some money from that. So support local because they support us. You know what I'm saying? And longtime listeners, longtime members of the Brain Trust will know Mutiny Information Cafe was a longtime sponsor. Still very close friends with Jim Norris and Matt Magacy, guys who run it. You know, I had them on the podcast before. You know, Mutiny's kind of going through a rough time. That whole neighborhood of Broadway's changing. And, you know, they've had people like throwing rocks at their windows or something. And they, you know, they have to replace some windows. They're going through a rough time, you know, trying to, you know, come back from COVID, just like every other small business here. They do have a GoFundMe out because, you know, they need to get a new door, a couple new windows, you know, help keep the lights on in the place, guys. So definitely look that up. If you've ever been to Mutiny or, you know, saw a comedy show there, you know, they used to be open, you know, damn near 24 hours a day. They supported local. They support us so much. If you can give, you should, just because it's a cool place and it'd be a shame to miss it or for it to go away. So, you know, if you can donate to Mutiny Information Cafe, they're the best. So just throwing them some love right there. On a happier note, I wanted to let you guys know, you may have noticed that, you know, this podcast has had ads at the beginning and the end of these podcasts for a while now, and thought there was going to be a big release, a big party for it, but it's kind of a slow rollout or a soft launch, I guess you could call it, for the Mile High Life Podcast Network. Okay, it is a legit podcast network. Okay, guys, you can't look up the website yet, but I've been told it's under construction. All right, and Left Hand Right Brain and Let's Get Drunk and Talk About Your Wedding are a part of this podcast network. Okay. They approached me. They wanted to do this podcast network. And it sounded like everything aligned. They just want to have cool people doing cool pods in Denver. You know, so it's a, you know, local, supported local. You know, the people that run it live here. It's a project associated with Mile High Sports. They're kind of branching off into more of like artsy culture lifestyle podcasts as well. So, you know, it's legit. I don't know. I only say that to, you know, everyone, mostly everyone, you know, knows Mile High Sports is like a, start off as a magazine, then they do radio, now they do podcasts, and they're branching out, okay? And Left Hand Right Brain's part of that. Very excited to be partnering up with them. So hopefully good things to come. Looking forward. The future is bright. And let's just say this podcast is no longer costing me money, okay? So that's a plus, guys. You know, if you stick into podcasting for damn near 10 years, you too could be picked up by a local podcast network and no longer have to spend your own money for hosting fees, things like that. I mean, I still pay for my website, but I mean, that's different. That's something different, you know? Having a website's totally different than, you know, hosting your audio on the pod, on a podcast website, you know, like Libsyn or whatever. Not that Left Hand Right Brain is associated with Libsyn, although they were great to me for a lot of years. Had to move over. Anyway, hi Spreaker. We're new. So be good to me. Anyway, that's just some nerding out on some podcast news. Very excited for it. Hope you guys are excited as well. You know, I'm excited to, you know, see how the podcast changes with it. You know, hopefully we can bring in new and exciting things. Okay, I'm done with the housekeeping. Let's get to this week's podcast, which is with another member of the Dead Room Comedy group, Josh Emerson. He's a super funny guy. I originally knew him as a Durango comic. They moved up here, or he moved up here, during the pandemic, or like right after the pandemic, right before, right after, I don't know, around pandemic times. And then once comedy started coming back, you know, once the restrictions and things started to be lifted, Dead Room really took over, you know, the Denver scene for a little bit. You know, there was a big shift here in the comedy scene, and the Dead Room guys were a part of it. This guy's really one of the driving forces of the Dead Room comedy thing. If you want to go back and check out one of the episodes with either Jacob Jonas or Jeff Stonick, they're also part of the Dead Room Comedy group. They get in a little more of like the history of the group and like how it formed, you know, because they got like a fund from like a, you know, the state for like an arts and cultures fund or something like that. And they've been producing shows and stuff with that. So good on them. They're out there hustling. Josh Emerson is a super funny guy. We get into a lot of that in the podcast, a force to be reckoned with, if you will. He is part of the Navajo Nation. So we do start talking a little bit about that because it's an interesting thing. He talks a lot about it. That's a big part of his identity. And he talks about it on stage. So I think it's a fun, unique thing to talk about, just to hear about, you know, growing up a little bit on a reservation in Arizona, you know, but his dad is white. So he would go to, I don't think we actually started recording when he said this, but he said he would go to a private school during the year, and then on the breaks, he would go, because his parents got divorced, and when, I don't know if I covered that, his parents got divorced, he would live with his dad and go to private school off the reservation, and then on breaks, he'd have to go back to the reservation and stay with his mom. So, you know, it's kind of got a little bit of foot in both worlds. I don't know if he, you know, we touched on whether, you know, he felt like he identified with either, you know, what he identified with the most. Really funny guy. Really glad we had him on. We keep it to a tight hour because he had a show to get to after this. You can tell I was a little jelly. I'm a little jelly of this guy because he's getting a lot of heat real quick. Not that he doesn't deserve it. I'm just saying, you know, it's hard. It's hard not to compare yourself to others. You know, it's something I struggle with every day. And I hope you'll give me some grace, dear listener. You can check out all things Dead Room by just Googling Dead Room Comedy. I think you can add them on any of the social media Zs. Check them out on YouTube. They got a couple sketches out there, or just try and check out Josh Emerson at a Dead Room show. They got live ones all over the place. Google it. Here, I'll Google it real quick. Yeah, just go to deadroomcomedy.com, and that's where you can find where they're doing shows next and everything like that. And they also have a podcast called Desserts. So check that out if you want to hear more of Josh Emerson talking it up. Thank you so much, Josh, for being on. I'm to talk, and let's get to this week's LHRB podcast, part of Left Hand Right Brain Productions.
Thank you.
tribe works.
Yeah.
I mean, is there, I mean, do you get some weird stuff? Like, I mean, I don't know. I just don't want to be insensitive.
I mean, what's crazy is like after shows, like men that are clearly Caucasian will like come up to me and be like, hey, my great, great grandfather was Cherokee. And so it's like they assume that makes it so that we have some type of connection. But like, I don't care. You're trying to be a spicy white person. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't like
a
people.
Spicy white person.
Well, that's what it is. You know, it's like they want to like justify their love of camping. You know what I mean? There has to be something special about them.
Dude,
and so it's just like, don't use me to validate that. You know, just because I am unequivocally Native, despite the fact my dad is white. Okay. I went to prep school, but I mean, I lived on the reservation. I look Native. I have long hair for a reason, you know? And so So it's just one of those things is like, I don't like being used that way, but I'm not going to, I mean, if you said Indian, like American Indian isn't really that offensive to me, even though like it's probably more appropriate to say Native American or Indigenous person.
Yeah. Yeah. Indigenous peoples is the thing I've heard the most recently, or like, I think is the most PC. Way to say,
and it's the most fun to say out of all of them. Like indigenous. Why I like to say it up on stage.
It is a fun word,
Like a lot of hard consonants. You know what I mean? Which makes it a funny word. Yeah,
you're flexing your schooling, your private schooling, right there.
Oh, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what, baby. I flunked out just like everybody else. Okay.
So your dad was kind of Kevin Costner, last Dances with Wolves.
Opposite, and then you're, man. My mom was the honky hunter. Know what I mean?
Okay, so she was.
She wanted to get out the res right after high school. She signed with the Marine Corps, and
oh wow, your mother was a Marine.
Yes,
or is a Marine. Sorry.
Oh well, when she passed away. So,
oh okay, I mean, gotcha.
But she did boot camp out in Paris Island. She got assigned to headquarters Marine Corps. Started going to church, and she met a very pretty white man who was my father.
And they Catholic church, Christian church,
Presbyterian. At that time, Protestant, like Southern Protestant. Okay. Yeah. So my mom grew up going to like these revivals on the reservation. It's like a religious circus, you know? They like string up like a tent.
Religious circus is the funniest way I've ever heard that say.
Yeah, they got married and they had two kids, man, right away. My dad was 21 when he had me, which is fucking insane to me because I just turned 31.
This is whenever I see revival, this is what I think of.
Damn.
Do you ever see this or hear the song?
Uh-uh.
Revival Soul Savers. I saw it on a snowboarding video. The song is on a snowboarding video.
Dang. One black person in the entire church.
So, was your mom from Durango as well, or that area of Colorado?
Well, my grandpa worked on the railroad, so all along the railroad is where they grew up. It's like Winslow, Flagstaff, Gallup, all the way up to Trinidad and Raton and all that stuff. My grandpa grew up going all the way out to L.A. He'd bring back citrus, like always, just citrus and peanuts.
Like
oranges. Oranges, okay. Grapefruits. Yeah, citrus in the biz, though.
Citrus fruits. Got it.
Yeah.
So just for the listener, got Josh Emerson here.
Hi.
From Durango, Colorado.
I grew up in Phoenix.
Okay, Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, I went to college out in Durango.
Okay. Yeah. That's when I started hearing about you. Everyone's like, oh, he's from Durango, guy from Durango.
That's right. No, that's where I started comedy.
One of the Dead Room guys.
That's right. Dead Room Till I Die. About to get that tattoo.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nobody else is going to get it with me.
Well, you know, someone's got to start the trend.
Exactly. You know.
Yeah, I don't think Jacob Jonas has a tattoo, or unless
he has one.
It says it's a gun on it says
"Live Free or Dead," which is very funny.
That sounds very right up his lane.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I love Jacob Jonas, man.
Yeah,
wish him nothing but the best. He's going off to.
Yeah, every time I see him, I'm like, I thought you were leaving.
Not yet. Almost
doing hosting. I thought you were leaving.
Yeah, he's about to.
That's what I've been hearing every time I see him. You're like, no, he's leaving next week. No, he's leaving next week. But yeah, so you're part of the Dead Room Comedy comedy group here in Denver, Colorado.
Yep.
And most of you guys started off in Durango. Jacob Jonas,
Elliot Weber,
and
Josh Emerson. Yeah. So we all started comedy in Durango. And we all graduated in 2019 from Fort Lewis and moved up. Started open micing here in Denver. It was shitty, but it was great. And met Jeff Stonick during that same time period. And we applied for this business plan competition and we won it. So we had a little bit of money, and so we started producing shows off of that.
Yeah. You guys really did a coup here in Denver. Everything was like a dead room production.
We just were trying to do our best. You know what I mean? Just,
yeah,
just
it was all over the place for sure.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Good. I'm glad. I'm actually glad to hear that. I want us to, we shall rise again.
Yeah. So you grew up in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yep.
On a reservation.
Yep.
Cherokee Nation.
Fuck the Cherokee Nation. I'm Navajo till I die.
Baby. I thought you said Cherokee earlier.
Nah, that's what white people come up and say to me.
Oh,
man.
Okay. Okay.
All right. I'm Dene, oh, man. I'm Tlaus Chip, born for the Belladonna.
So sorry. So
man.
Sorry. I didn't mean to.
Oh,
Navajo.
Man.
My yeah, mistake. That's right. I'm sorry. I mean, dude.
Think I will, dude. I'll start fucking shooting corn pollen in this bitch, man. I will fucking fuck a goat right here in this room. These are all Navajo references. Okay, if you're wondering, yeah.
What's a fuck a goat reference for Navajo?
Well, we just very famous for sheep herding, and so when like people want to, you know, throw shade at us, they so you insinuate
fuck sheep. You fuck sheep. Okay.
Exactly. That's gotcha. Mostly, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad that that's what you latch on to with for their pride, you know, or whatever.
Well, I'm gonna say like fucking turquoise and rug weaving, man. That shit's boring as fuck, man. Fuck.
Rug weaving's, you know, kind of trendy.
I'm sure
it could be a popular TikTok.
It channel. Is. I think it
rug
is.
Rug weaving.
Yeah, they have them. Yeah,
I mean, as much as turquoise.
Yeah, a lot of fancy, a lot of modern styles being brought into the mix. Do you have turquoise? Do you ever wear Navajo jewelry?
No, I'd like to. I have a ring I got in Mesa Verde last year.
Oh, okay.
That has like a black, yeah, blue and red, and it's like. I can't.
Black is obsidian?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it was like some kind of like love story or something like that that goes with it.
Interesting.
Yeah. I can't remember the Pueblo. Puebla. Is that that's what's around?
Yeah. I mean, in that area, you're going to have a lot of tribes.
Okay.
So
yeah,
Mesa Verde was Anasazi before
four
Pueblo.
Four corners kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
But yeah, Zuni do great jewelry. A couple other Pueblo tribes do great jewelry. Navajo is really. Really big. A lot of people, because Gallup used to be where like movie stars would go before they went off to like Monument Valley to film those westerns.
Uh-huh.
And so that's where a lot of that Navajo jewelry ended up getting into Los Angeles and into New York.
Okay.
And then it was like huge in the 70s. That a lot of, yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah. Was there white turquoise? Because I remember seeing a big white turquoise, like white stone piece.
Sure. Abalone. Mesa, yeah.
In Mesa Verde. And it was like, really, really expensive.
Yeah, I'm sure, I bet.
I was like, this is fucking, I can't afford this.
Sure. Yeah. Or it could have been coral. But like all that stuff is like, if you can find a big piece, it's rare. You know what I mean? There's just people like walking around and stuff looking for it.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So take us back.
Sure.
Little kid.
Yeah.
Growing up on the res. What's that like? You know, what's some stereotypes, some non-stereotypes, whatever.
Sure. Yeah, so my parents got divorced and my dad stayed in the... I know, man.
But he stayed on the reservation?
No, he stayed in the city.
Okay.
And then my mom moved to the res. And so I grew... They had joint custody, so I'll go a school year in Phoenix and then winter and summer breaks on the res. And fucking hated me, man. I had a white dad, you know what I mean? Didn't really
just
coming
fit
back
in.
From the summer. No, yeah, man. Yeah. My part of the res, it's in Vanderwagen. Very beautiful. Lots of juniper trees. They call it a pygmy forest. So just a ton of juniper as far as the eye can see. My mom lived with my grandparents, took care of them till they passed away. And she made fry bread. She had a fry bread stand. And I would like go to like fairs with her. I would cook with her. I was like 13, like on the grill making burgers while she made fry bread. Look at that.
Fry bread.
It's native. It's definitely reservation food. It's post the conquering. That's why some people have some problems with it. Yeah, pull that up.
Why they have problems with it? So it's like a sopapilla.
It is very similar to a sopapilla. It's flour, baking powder, and salt are the main ingredients.
Deep fried in oil. Yeah.
Deep fried, yep. Lard, usually. Yeah, hell snow yeah. cap. Yeah, and only bluebird, which
hell
is
hell yeah.
Yeah, if you don't make your fried bread with bluebird, go fuck yourself. Okay, I'll say that right now.
Bluebird is lard?
No, bluebird is the flour. Snow cap is the lard.
Okay. Yeah. Well, Crisco, you're not going to go for
Crisco, I mean, Crisco's good. I'm just saying, if you want a legitimate, snow cap is the way to go.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you put the burger in the fry bread?
Yeah. So you'd make the fry bread and you put the burger like on top of
it. Does it have the consistency of a bun, or was it more like putting like a pita, or like, you know, like a more of that kind of
so there's different types
texture.
The way we put like an egg in it, which made it more airy, and so it was a lot like a sopapilla, except like rounder, so you can fold it, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah, so you fold it over
exactly
like a tortilla.
Yeah, like a tortilla. You can make tortillas out of it too with the same dough. They're thicker though, and that's actually usually what you'd use the dough for as opposed to frying it. Oh, there's the Cabe. That's right. Denver institution, man. There's forever they said they're gonna start expanding, but we'll see, man. They do Native American food, but like in a Chipotle style. Their bison ribs are sick though.
Bison ribs, ooh, yeah.
That's right. I mean, if you got a place in Berkeley, you know.
What is that?
I don't know, man. Okay.
What is there? There's a place in Berkeley?
Yeah, Berkeley, Colorado, here up northwest Denver. That's a neighborhood.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where they started.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, I'll have to try that out. I wonder how much protein's in a bison rib. I'm all about getting my grams of protein.
Are you all about
days.
The macros right now?
Are you trying to maximize my gains with the lifting. Yeah. If you want to do the fit check before you leave,
okay,
you can do that. I think.
I mean, no, not yet. You know,
no, you want to wait. I'm going to work up to it.
Well, I used to be an athlete, and so I know that I'm not athletic now.
What'd you play?
Cross country. Had that sub 18
not really
minute
a
5
lifting
key.
Sport. Yeah.
Okay, I played rugby in college. Is that good enough for you?
It's not really a lifting sport.
Rugby's not a lifting sport.
I mean, no, they run. That means it's still a lot of cardio.
It's a lot of lifting, but
Ethan Everhart lifted 205.
205. Yeah, that's very
that was
cute.
Very impressive.
I mean, for someone 5'2", that's really impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
I just did a show last weekend.
You could probably do like 125.
Easy. I could do 185.
Did you lift
couch.
A lot in rugby?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So when I was in shape, I could do like 235, just as like a heavy lift as usually, and then
right,
I didn't really push past
that. That was a while ago.
Yeah, I could do 185 right now if you put it on.
You
the
want to 185?
Yeah. Easy.
Okay. I mean,
oh
that's...
my god, easy.
Okay. Well, we can.
Yeah,
run.
I'll
I
rep
mean,
that for. I'll rep for
one.
Five.
You gotta
dude.
Do one. Just gotta do one.
Okay. I mean, all right. Yeah.
No, don't want you to hurt yourself either. So
thank
whatever
you. I
feel comfortable.
You.
With.
Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. You got a show after this, so we are gonna
I
have
do.
To cut this short here. You know, we have a hard out. Is all I'm saying.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay,
yeah. What else you want to talk about?
Well,
man?
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in the res thing, you know, but you weren't really
like. What about it? What are you interested about it?
Well, I think it's
a lot of sand. I mean, it gets everywhere and just it's very coarse.
Wow, okay.
What? I mean, that's
I
where they
you're
shot.
Gonna go for a Star Wars reference.
I mean, is that where that's from? I don't know.
Yeah. It's Anakin saying he hates the sand.
Yeah.
I you do? Okay. Was Star Wars one of the movies you watched a lot?
Yeah, that's the one thing. There's no internet out of the res. So what ends up happening is you get these Native families, just this huge VHS and DVD collection. And
hell
so you
yeah.
just start watching just a shit ton of movies, man. I see like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
Star Wars is huge, man. It's actually one of the only movies that has Navajo. It's been dubbed in Navajo. That one and Finding
Whoa.
Nemo. Those are the two big examples, man.
Crazy.
Yeah, but all three Star Wars, man, if you want to just, I do
the prequels too.
No, not the prequels, just the original three. Yeah, the original trilogy, but hopefully they work on, you know, the prequels and the sequels.
Do you speak Navajo?
No, I don't. I used to speak more, and I'd like to speak more again, but it is a lot of glottal stops, if you know what I'm saying. It is. And it's a language where native speakers, if they hear you speak it and you speak it wrongly, they will laugh at you. It is one of those things where you get humiliated until you get it right, you know? So,
yeah. Spanish is a lot of the same stuff like that, too. Like, they don't want you to sound white, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of that.
Excellent. Ooh, put it on.
Was at one time a very complete.
Oh, that's English.
For example, the.
Yeah, but you hear that accent? That's because he speaks Navajo.
And so there's even words lost in that regard. So it is that even with the clan families and that, we have some names that we haven't interpreted correctly.
And you see that thing he's wearing, that large silver bracelet? That's, yeah. That's supposed to be an arrow guard when you shoot arrows. That's why you have it on the left hand.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at this little Johnny kid doing
lip sync.
Can I retry that?
Rick Dempsey, senior.
I think there's a lot of them talking about dubbing. Yeah.
Fluent speakers.
Not
Asian Museum.
Damn, the student, that guy
trying to get him to get a spot where they're speaking Navajo. But this is a clip of them dubbing Finding Nemo. But
Finding Nemo may help
the language of the Dene.
So this Dene. Right here is supposed to keep the string from whipping your forearm.
It's the opposite, just so that people can't shoot it. It's just guarding your arm when it's extended. It's my understanding. It's more spiritual now than anything.
No. So I shot a bow when I was younger, yeah. And like you have to have a guard on your forearm
right there.
Yeah. When you're shooting, because it'll fucking come back. The string will come back and whip your forearm like. Hella.
Sure.
It hurts like a bitch.
But I mean the bows that they're making, they don't have quite that like amount of elasticity. It's not that strong of a pullback.
Yeah, the bows I was using were like like Olympic.
Exactly.
You know, that's kind what I'm of saying. Bows. Yeah, that wasn't like a
this one is like they like soak like honestly juniper trees, some type of wood. And then they use like elk leather? No. Intestines? I think of the intestines. But yeah, soak it and they bury it, bring it back up again, bend it. But you can't really pull it far back. It's like a real quick.
You can make an ash, black, locust, hickory.
Hickory. Yeah, it might have been a hickory.
But yeah, so I mean, it just reminds me of Chris Rock talks about, you know, like, not feeling, you know, black enough for black people and white enough for the white kids when he was growing up, because I guess he kind of had a foot in both worlds.
Yeah, 100%.
And he talks about like that kind of help, you know,
not belonging anywhere.
Yeah, having that outside perspective and that, like, you know, kind of made him into a comedian.
Yeah, lots like of that. Free time, you know. Actually, Chris Rock was the first specials that I'd watch, you know. Bigger and Blacker was like the first comedy special I ever bought. Patrice O'Neill is my favorite comedian. This idea of having to deal with race while also wanting to be cultured, but I mean there's so much of culture that feels white to other people. I gravitated right away. I love the res, man. There's a clearness. I feel stronger there. You look up at night and you just see the entire sky. During the day, it just smells so beautiful, man. Like right after like a storm, because they have monsoons out there, you just smell like that wet dirt with mixed with like the juniper smell and everything. It's my favorite thing in the world for sure.
Yeah, I was listening to your pod that you do, the Dead Room guys do, the dessert.
Sure.
Desserts. Check it out. Are you still doing that?
Yeah. I think we're gonna do a lot more like one-offs where like it's only one of us and another person. It's hard to get all of us in the room together.
Yeah.
Just busy boys, you know?
Yeah. You were talking about going to Fort Collins and doing some shows down there, and you said that you just slept by the river.
I did. Yeah. It was really fun.
Like something that, I mean, you're
some
just
some
like,
male privilege, like a motherfucker.
Cosplaying being homeless.
Yeah. I saw several homeless people, and it's just a nice tip of the cap.
They
you know what I mean?
Just left you alone.
Oh, 100%, man. I'm intimidating. I don't know if you can see me right now. I can bench 185 off the couch.
Right,
okay.
Right.
I picked a place that was, you know, not obvious.
Because you could get arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because it's not
there's
legal. Like an urban camping ban. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I was like right by the river. In fact, if I rolled out, I would have fell into the river when I woke up.
You had
in the
like
morning.
A hammock? Or
I had a hammock. Yeah, I went hammock.
That you set up.
That I set up. Yeah.
How do you stay not obvious with a hammock?
Oh, well, I mean, because it's like, it was like under the ridge, so you couldn't see me from the pathway, if that makes sense. So I was like right on the riverbank. And so you couldn't see me at all, completely invisible. And it was so relaxing, man. Just the pooter. Is that what they call it? The Peter.
The Poudre River, yeah. Poudre. Okay. Well, there's the Platte and the Poudre. I don't know which one's going through Fort Collins.
No, definitely
yeah, I mean,
the Poudre.
It's part of the Poudre then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was just flowing. It was pretty high, honestly, but it was nice, man.
You weren't worried about the other homeless people did not make you feel uncomfortable at all? Or
no.
You didn't feel unsafe?
Well, I also didn't have any money on me. You know what I mean? I had a backpack, a hammock. No money.
How'd you get to Fort Collins?
I took the bus.
Okay.
Yeah. It was really nice. One of my favorite things to do is to pop edibles and take public transportation. And so I took the bus up to Boulder. I went from Boulder. There's a free bus from Boulder to Fort Collins. And so I took that, and it's crazy because it gets on that, it's like a miniature, like a state highway. It's not the freeway, it's not the I-25, but there's like a state highway that runs parallel, and just the most beautiful view of the mountains. And then there was like a double rainbow that day too. It was so lovely, man. And just, yeah, it was people from Fort Collins that came down to like mountain bike during the morning and they're coming back up for the afternoon. Yeah. It took like from Denver, maybe 3 hours up to Fort Collins.
Shit.
And then, yeah, I was able to take public transportation all the way. Cause that downtown area is like right off one of the free stops. So within a quarter mile of the Comedy Fort. And then I got there half an hour early and,
you did your set.
Yeah. I was hosting for Comrade Lugala that night. So I hosted.
Okay.
And then, yeah, hung out with some comedy fans after and drank for a little bit. And then, yeah, just they actually initially recommended the spot, the people that I was with, because they were locals.
And they're like, we know a spot under the bridge where
People do it. People
no
do
one
it.
We'll see you get murdered down there.
That's right. Yeah, the murder thing didn't really bug me at all. Like,
do you think that's male privilege? I mean, like, you're like, no one's gonna fuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are places where people would fuck with me. It just didn't feel like that
Fort
was
Fort Collins,
of,
you're the tough guy.
Maybe. It's not even that I'm the tough guy. It's just I'm not the target. You know? If that makes sense.
Yeah. Or like, you know, no one's looking at you and being like, easy target.
It's not one easy target, but also I don't have anything of value, you know? Like people are not gonna kill me for nothing. Like people like
that's
nonsensical.
That's a joke. And then a psycho comes along.
That's true.
Just to kill a man to watch him die.
Nah, psychos look for prey though. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And again, well, sleeping man in a hammock. I mean,
yeah.
When do you become prey?
Yeah.
I mean, I would not be able to sleep? Relax. Yeah. No, so I mean, that's a. Great. And then just enjoy it the way you're doing it. It's.
Oh, it was wonderful, man. It makes me. Like, it's always an option. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I thought about doing it when I went up to the Black Hills Festival. Not camping in the middle of nowhere, but trying to hitchhike the last part of it. I was going to, like, fly into a place in Nebraska and then which was about 70 miles south of Rapid City. And I was going to try to hitchhike from that place to the festival. And I was like, you know what, it's probably just easier to message Nathan Lund. And so I did that instead. And so,
and he gave you a ride?
Yeah, it was all four of us, Mitch Jones and Steve Vanderplug. It was a nice little ride up. Yeah,
I mean, it's a different kind of hitchhike.
Sure, I guess. Yeah.
You still caught a ride.
I mean, I still suck dick, you know what I mean? That's at the end of the day. No one rides for free.
And you went into the military as well, right?
Yeah, Semper Fi, do or die. Yeah, I, as a reservist, did my 6 years, got my honorable discharge.
What's the difference between a reservist and...
So when you're placed on active, it's just active duty. So I was required to report like 1 week in a month when I was doing my reserve part of it. This is after I did all the training and then do some initial stuff right after the training.
So you go to train just like as
everybody.
If you were already...
Yeah. A Marine, yeah.
Yeah.
So I did, yeah, Marine Corps combat training, did Block Fuel Engineer School, did some stuff after that. And then you do an annual training, and you can do that in Okinawa or any of the military bases just to make sure you're proficient in your MOS.
What's and, MOS?
This is your job in the military.
Mode of?
I think it's military occupation. Occupation. There it is.
Military occupation.
Specialty, I think, is what it stands for, but I'm not 100% sure. I was the bulk fuel. Gas man. I filled up tanks and planes.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Why did you choose to go to reserve over traditional enrollment? I don't know. What's the difference?
That was a mistake. I'll say that much. So I flunked out of college. I had a scholarship at U of A, and I didn't know I was bipolar yet.
University of Arizona?
University of Arizona. Yeah, bear down. I flunked out of there, I was impulsive, and I went into a recruiter's office because both my parents are Marines. Mm-hmm. And I was like, sign me up. And 2 weeks later, I was shipped off to Paris Island and just did that for 2 years and
came back home.
It's in South Carolina. It was where they make Marines, there in San Diego.
So even though you were in the reserves, you still were gone for 2 years?
Yeah.
I mean, like, enlisted, you're still like...
Yeah.
I guess I don't know what the difference is. So when you said that, I was like, I guess there must be a big difference. Doesn't sound like so there's any difference.
The difference comes when you get to the fleet. It's like, what are you doing? So after, like, the 2 years, a normal person's going to go in and be assigned to a unit that's actively at a base or something like that. There's MEWs, there's... different. So as a bulk fuelist, there's a couple different places you can be. One of the worst places is 29 Palms. It fucking sucks. Most of the places are training bases because you need gas people to do the training. And so that's mostly where you get assigned.
Did you get a pick gas out of like a list of things you could do, or were they like,
you know, I did not care. I got a 98 ASVAB, so I could have done anything. If I did do it again, I probably would have gone Navy and done nuclear submarine. But
so you got a high test score on like,
yeah. Okay. So yeah, best ASVAB you can get is a 99.
Okay.
And then the ASVAB is what determines what.
So
what,
you're smart.
Maybe. No, I'm dumb. I make lots of poor decisions all the time, for sure. But
well, your ASVAB says you made one poor decision.
That's true. So I could have done that. I just wanted to go back to college, though. It was always college for me. And so I kept...
So even though you dropped out, you wanted to get back in?
Yeah.
What happened to the dropout in the first place? You mentioned bipolar...
Yeah, so I just stopped going to classes. Just these deep depression states.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and then, I got like a 0.1 GPA my second semester.
Did they give you an academic scholarship or?
Yeah, it was an academic scholarship.
Cool, cool.
Which I got put on probation because I got like a 1.9 my first semester, which was not great. And then I just completely lost it the second semester, for sure. My senior year, I was in Wales, you know? So it was just like a lot of transition, man. Just a lot of different places, meeting different people, a lot for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
But then your goal was to get back to college?
Yeah.
And enrolling was the way to do that for you, enrolling in the military?
I wanted something that would make people proud of me. Okay. I wanted something that was like obviously hard and people could be like, oh, neat, good for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that felt like it.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of, getting out of high school, you're like, oh, I'm going to be looked at as a failure if I don't go to college right away. Yeah, especially like our generation, I feel like.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to go to college or you're a fucking loser.
Yeah.
And that's the whole reason I went to college. And I even took a 2-year hiatus in between high school and college.
Sure.
So I get that impulse of wanting to like do something that where people will be like, oh, he's making something of himself.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
The military, though, that's a.
Oh, it's a crazy. It's a
hard road to plow.
Especially
plow,
Marine.
Hard,
you know?
Road to hoe. I don't know what that phrase is. That's a hard one. It's a not easy thing you did.
Yeah. I will say I met some of the greatest people. I met a lot of jabronis. There's something to be said, though, that I've met people that were different than me. It's hard to be intellectual in the Marine Corps, especially, but to like to see a beautiful side of people that I don't know, that probably don't have terrible opinions about Trump and about gun control and abortion now, to humanize them and but not forgive them for like having those opinions. That was important for me, I think, in terms of the development of how I understand people, is to meet people that are different than you. I think it's so crucial, man. Not just like race wise or city wise. I met people from like that were like the sticks of Louisiana, man, that fucking spoke stupid, man. Stupid. And it's like, there's something about the human experience when you experience something traumatic together. You can get bonded and you can be friends with anybody. And so I really love that about the Marine Corps, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, like that bonding through struggle, like you guys are all struggling together, you know, this like brotherhood's forged. They do. I mean, that was when the war in Iraq and stuff was going on. Were you worried about going there or anything?
I wanted to, which is dumb.
But you didn't.
No, I didn't. Which is something I feel guilty about every day. Which is really? So stupid. Yeah. It's like,
does the military like encourage that? Like, hey, you got to get out there, do your part.
Yeah.
You know this.
Well,
is like,
Marine Corps. There's only less than 300,000 Marines. There's, I don't know, 1.5 million Army people, just in terms of the different sizes. And Marines are always the tip of the spear, they're the war fighters. Every Marine's a rifleman, and so there's this sense of warrior culture that is really hard to break, man. It's one of the dumbest things to feel guilty about. I do, though. Yeah, like Ali Kareem, he's in the scene. And he was an interpreter for Marines. And so that's tough for me. It reminds me that I have friends that died, friends that I went through boot camp with or who I trained with that are dead now. And so what's crazy are the ones that came back and then committed suicide. So that also had that happen as well, you know?
Yeah, it's a rough one.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I don't know what to say. I mean, it's a hard thing to talk about. You know, it's a very sensitive issue.
Sure.
Nope. Yeah.
Well, yeah, we have 100% volunteer military system.
In the United States.
And it's crazy. Something like 70% of people that enlist have something they're related to in the military. And so what's happening is you're creating these castes of people of this military caste that's sort of separate from the rest of society. And you see those misunderstandings happen. You worry about that when you start to militarize the police, you know, the domestic forces back home, just in terms of when you're out there in Iraq, part of it is to sort of dehumanize the enemy as a part of it, just because it's warfare.
Yeah, it's the only way to get through it.
Exactly. And so you really got to fight against that happening stateside, man, because citizens are citizens and
people. So you think they bring that mentality back from the military and that's like affecting their civilian lives?
I just think that you can, it's not individuals. I think it's like organizations. The institutions are becoming more militarized for a variety of reasons. There's like bills passed that they can now buy military things. So they get these large funds to buy tanks. And when you don't need a tank for a drug bust, those types. So you actually have the physical stuff and you have to like find a reason to use it. And then there's just, fighting the militarization of domestic forces has to be a huge issue for everybody going forward. Cause it's terrifying.
Something you think about a lot, huh?
Yeah, well, yeah. I got shot with rubber bullets during the George Floyd protest, man. That was wild, man. That was one of the things that we did as a Dead Room Boys group. We hadn't seen each other in forever. We met up because of the protest. We were going to go out, and we started walking. And it was odd because it just felt like we were doing like going to a concert almost or something. And we're all walking and there's like this nervous energy. And then you start like hearing noise. And then you come around the corner and like your eyes are stinging because of all the tear gas. And it was right there by the Capitol over like on Sherman and like that area walking. And then I look over and I see like Jacob's eyes gets big and goes like right into the thick of it by himself.
He runs in there.
Yeah. And
why?
Jacob wants to be a part of the solution, but in a different way, you know what I mean? In an active way.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you should ask him.
Yeah, why? I didn't know what excites. I went to. Yeah. So what did you do?
So I looked at them. I was like, I'm going to go get him. And so I went after him and I lost him immediately. And this is like on Lincoln and 14th.
So just a sea of people, a bunch of people in the street.
Sea of people. And I'm suddenly at the front and I look and it's just entire line, lights fully blazing, of just SWAT team people fully geared up, with like they're aiming their paintball guns and their rubber bullet canisters. And then I look back and the entire crowd had receded. And it was just like islands of people. And I was one of those islands. And like my hands are fully up and just gas canister flashbangs. And then a gas canister landed right behind me and just engulfed me in tear gas and dropped my hands. And I got shot twice with rubber bullets and got out of there.
They didn't arrest you or anything? You just ran back into the crowd?
Well, actually, I ran left. And then this white guy came up like on a skateboard. And he pulled milk out of his backpack, which he poured over my face, which
helped or didn't help?
Helped super, man. Yeah, tear gas sucks. There's something like a stinging of it, and it like it's a dust, and so I'll get, because I got tear gas in the Marine Corps every year. It's part of the like annual requirements to get tear gassed. So yeah,
sounds like a cool group.
Fuck, dude. but yeah, so it's a dust, so it'll get on your clothes and stuff like that. And you know, if you rub it, you can rub it into your eyes. And so that liquid just, it helps get the dust off of it. Plus, it helps calm everything because of the lactose in it. And then yeah, I just went over to, there's a statue of a raging Indian over by in Civic Center Park, and I went over to that. Just because I was like, I want to be around something that makes me feel safe. And just standing there, and you just see these groups, I'd say like four or five of SWAT team people just like roaming throughout the park, going to different areas that, because they've been directed. It was like behind the lines, and the lines were pushing down Lincoln. So they'd pushed them, you know, almost the 13th or 12th at that point. So like the line had fully passed me by. And so then I just went back around this way and got out of that where they're arresting people and got into the place like just back into Cap Hill. And then, yeah, I grabbed some juniper, man, and met up with Elliot juniper. And Jeff. Yeah, well, because yeah, there's juniper all over Cap Hill, you know, because they use it for like landscaping.
Uh-huh.
And like I said, juniper back on the res, one of my favorite things about it. So I just take it and I roll it between my fingers and put it up my nose. And
the
just,
leaves.
Yeah, the leaves. Yeah. Yeah. And that smell, man, brings me back. So
you're crying with milk all over yourself and then you put leaves up your nose.
Yeah. Yeah. Milk dried pretty early. And yeah, I stopped crying. I cried by the statue because I like being cinematic, you know.
But, and what do you, did you feel better after you did this, or how did you just want to be a part of the movement?
Like, why did I go to the protest?
Yeah, or like, yeah. More, and,
oh, well, I went to the protest because of it. And I went to the protest because an innocent man was killed by the police,
and you wanted to show your disapproval of that
through peacefully protesting.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is for me is a patriotic act. You know,
yeah,
you gotta.
Yeah.
You got to speak out about these types of evils in the world. Afterwards, I mean, it's not something you feel proud about, I don't think. It's more like $300,000 were spent by the city of Denver in ammunition to combat the protest. And that's a lot of money to spend in ammunition against your own people. And so... it just sort of shook me about how much, how active you should be in understanding institutions around you. because, I mean, we give this monopoly of violence to the state. We have to keep them accountable to the people. Otherwise, the whole social contract doesn't work. So, I don't know. It was a weird time.
Yeah.
COVID
yeah.
sucked, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was like right during the COVID stuff. And then.
Yeah, I think that's part of
stuff happened. Yeah.
Part of why it was so crazy is because people had been quarantining up until that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was one of the first time a lot of people got out. And
yeah.
It's a lot of pent up energy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you spent the 2 years in training or whatever in the military, and then you came got back out to do your thing.
Yeah.
And then the reserves, you go in once a month.
I went back to community college. I got a 4.2. Got back in the U of A.
4.2 is your GPA.
Is my GPA, yeah.
Okay.
Got back in the U of A. And then immediately I withdrew. I didn't flunk out that time, but I was like, I can't.
You didn't finish college that time?
No, I didn't. But I met my ex-girlfriend down there, and we stayed together for 6 years. So I lived with her for a bit, and then we moved up to Yellowstone. Lived there for a summer with my mom and my sister, and worked for the hotels. Saw a lot of animals. I moved to Durango and went back to school, got my degree in economics.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I got out to Durango. It was like, that was like 6 years after, 6 years after joining the Marine Corps. I was in Durango. So.
Oh, wow. And now you're done with the military?
Yeah. Yeah. I got out. So I got my honorable. So I dropped into the IRR, which is inactive reserve, in 2016, and I got my honorable discharge in 2018. And the honorable discharge is like, you're out, so, which is nice. Did my time, and I went to school for banking. I wanted to be, a force for good. Did an internship at the Native American Bank up here in Denver. They do credit for reservations for tribes mostly. The reservation's weird because there's no private property. All the land, so like this, there's like a mortgage here, and there's like a deed attached to it and stuff like that. And so like there's equity and stuff out on the reservation. All the land is held in trust by the federal government for the benefit of Native American tribes. But what that has done is it's stopped private property sales, so you can't sell your house or you can't sell the land that it's on. It's like a response to the Dawes Act because, well, they sell too much of it and not in a way that was beneficial to natives. And so anyways, it's very difficult to start a business because the number way that businesses are started, it's like you mortgage your home and stuff like that. You get that initial startup capital. You can see the negative effects on tribal economies all over, because as soon as you get off the reservation, you have these border towns. Gallup, New Mexico is one of them. Farmington is another. And, something like 80 cents of every Native American dollar goes into these border towns. And so you create all the economic demand goes into these towns that are just right off the reservation because they can start the businesses there. So, yeah, the richest people on reservations are people that own livestock, because livestock is wealth, it's capital. And we see that across all reservations.
And so is that something you're still working in, or you're just telling jokes now?
Yeah, I'm just telling jokes.
Talking about your dick all day?
Yeah, I mean, I took a hard pass, man. No, I did affordable housing finance, a CDFI. Did that for a while and found out I hate finance, man, even when it has a mission. I still try to do something good. I was a social worker for a year, left that, and now I work at the Denver Zoo and Ball Arena.
A lot of stuff of trying to be of service.
Trying to be of service, yeah, but
it's
not
like a big driving force in your life, it seems like.
Yeah, and then, but you find out things aren't for you, and I still want to be of service, but... yeah, I love comedy.
See a basketball game.
Yeah. Oh, dude, it's so fucking sick, man. I go in early to watch Jokic warm up. He has the same warm up every day, man. It is so comforting just to see him just go through his shots. Especially
you're just there with leaves up your nose watching Jokic.
Exactly. Yeah. Just my juniper, you know what I mean? Milk on my face for sure. Yeah. Crying.
Yeah, man, that's a lot. Yeah. When did comedy start coming into your life here?
Yeah, when my ex-girlfriend broke up with me. And that was, yeah. I was like, all right.
Breakups are how a lot of people get into comedy, dude.
Yeah. And Durango had such a lovely scene, man. It was like, we were able, so there was one open mic a night or a week, and then one monthly show. And then it started to be like three monthly shows. And so you're able to like get up once a week and then do a show like every other week. And so, and like, we were doing like comedy for 100 people that paid $15 at the door, like way too early in our comedy careers.
You mean you and the other Dead Room guys?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. The people there.
Yeah, you guys came in with all this confidence, and I was like, "What? Where do you?
these
get
little
off?
Fuck shits?" Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love Denver comedy, man. I love that it's hard to get into.
You love that it's, you know, giving you. You're doing well in
it's
it.
Given. I mean, I've tried to work at it, man.
No,
I love it.
You haven't. Yeah, I'm not trying to take anything away from you in that respect. You're working at it.
Trying to.
You're doing good. I remember seeing you and Jeff Sonic on a new talent night a couple months ago and being like, damn, these guys are bringing an energy that I am nowhere near right now. Like, I'm going on stage trying to be like clever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, you guys are like bringing an energy that like, we're the party, you know, like fucking Sonic was high-fiving people on stage and stuff like that,
yeah.
Which I've done before, you know, sure. In the past here and there, but like, I don't know. That's not, I don't have the energy for that these days. And then you come and you're yelling at everybody, that's but right, like in a I'll fun yell. Way
exactly.
You know, that they're into, you know, and I was yeah. Like, these guys are doing something different than what I'm doing.
I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
And it's working. I mean, that's, you got to go do a up next show after this.
Yeah.
And, which is like for the audience, it's a show for like people who haven't made the pro list yet or almost famous list, but like you're working, you get to do longer sets.
Yeah,
the
7 minutes.
Giving you the opportunity to do longer sets.
At the South Club, which is traditionally the harder club. And so if you can succeed there, I mean, it's still
unless
a great club.
Funny,
it's fine.
You're fine. Yeah. I've always done fine at the South Club. I've never had a hard time there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I would say it's been harder.
I've only done 3 to 4 minutes though at a time. I don't know what 7 minutes is like there.
Oh, I enjoyed it. I've done up next twice.
You've
now.
Done it twice now.
This is my third time.
God
yeah.
Damn it!
I'm sorry. You can sign up for it.
Sign up for it. You think I'm just there not signing up?
I'm just here
complaining and not.
I'm sorry, man.
No, it's all good. It's fine. I get it. You know, again, you have an energy.
Well,
you're
young.
People like you got a thing.
I got a thing. Yeah, I mean, I
and
got.
It's yelling at the audience.
Yelling. Okay. I'm trying
when did
to.
This yelling come out? Is it like something you got from man. The military?
yeah, it's
they
honestly
yell at
it's
me,
the church
I'm
shit,
yell
man.
At you.
Fucking, I love.
Oh, right.
It's like that. I mean, that's how Sam Kinison got into yelling too, man. Is there something about holding charisma with volume? And so, like, we're able to do that. You're able to, I mean, work, I guess. It's different. People don't expect the native material. I mean, it's not they don't expect it from me. They just haven't
heard
it.
Well, they
think
you're Mexican here.
Exactly.
They don't think
you're. I mean, yeah. I mean, I look like Danny Trejo. So, yeah, I get it, you know. So, it's one of those things, like, I always yelled and it was worse and I found a way to refine it a little bit.
Yeah. Cause it's not like you're angry. Like, no. There's that one Southern guy, Derek Stroop or whatever. And he's yelling and trying to be angry though. I mean, he's like manufacturing this anger the whole time,
mm-hmm.
Which has to be tiring. Like that has to
for
take,
30 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that has to take it out of you.
Yeah. Well, one thing that Stroop does that I just am amazed by is that he can take the energy back down to zero and slowly build it back up to where he's worked himself into a tizzy again. It's very like Bill Burr-esque, you know what
I mean?
I mean,
but Bill Burr doesn't even do that anymore.
But I'm talking back when he did.
Yeah, I don't think he can do that long term. I think you have to evolve. I mean, he talks about that.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't think that's sustainable long term. But what I was getting at was like your yelling isn't like mean-spirited or it's not like berating. It's just like, I don't know. It's got a different energy. It's like I'm enthusiastic about this.
Yes.
Not like I'm mad about this.
Yeah. I'm enthusiastic. That's a great way to put it. That does come from the military. Is that there's this fake enthusiasm that you put into everything that you do that I'd like to keep that tradition going.
Is that like sure. A bit of rebellion? Like, oh no, I
oh,
love
yeah,
all these
for
fucking
sure. Absolutely. Fucking... Yeah. Fake motivation, man. That's also why I'm in customer service, man. Yes. If you can provide excellent customer service when you're dead and inside, that's how you know you'll be in the business.
That's like
a long
spiritual
time.
Cutting.
Right there. It's fucking, oh, man. For me, that's spiritual BDSM, okay? Because I love it, man. I get off on it. Just being able to, like, do you just not like people?
I've been worn down by it.
Really?
I've done a lot of customer service shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have this driving job right now, and I like parked. Took up like I'm in a big box truck. I took up like 4 parking spots to like deliver something to a guy.
Uh-huh.
Someone from another business came out and was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm fucking as I'm fucking unloading boxes." I was like, "Oh, are you from this place?" And he's like, "No, I'm from the place you're parked in front of." And I was like, "All right, well, I'm gonna be done here in a minute."
Yeah,
like I wouldn't have parked here if there were cars. Like,
yeah,
but,
I mean, I was
waiting for him to say something, so yeah. I was gonna go out, but he did it just enough. He wrote the line just enough that I didn't like get pissed, but it stuck with you though. I imagine I spent the whole rest of my day just imagining going off on this guy.
I love fake arguments. You know what I mean? Or you're just like in the shower.
It's not helpful,
like,
but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's very masturbatory, honestly.
Yes, yeah, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, and that's something else I wanted to address.
Masturbation? Like, absolutely. Well, I use my left hand. All right. No lube at all either, which is, I think, insane.
Yeah, I'm a dry guy as well.
Dry guy? Ugh. I'm embarrassed
by it.
No.
I mean, you know, you got to do what you
got. It is what it is. You know?
I think spitting on your own hand while you're jerking off is weirder.
Why would you? Lotion. Or lube.
I mean, just someone who couldn't do it dry.
Oh,
you know,
I see.
Just like
exactly.
Trying anything.
That's why I did it. Because I was out on the res and we didn't have lotion. Yeah, all right. Lotion. And it's sandy out there. Okay. It gets everywhere.
Yeah, dirt's everywhere.
What are you going to say?
Well, I was on that desserts podcast. The way you and the rest of the guys talk to each other is like, it has a level of emotional intelligence that I'm impressed by.
Oh, that's so sweet of you to say.
Yeah,
thank you.
Have you gone to therapy?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's obvious that you guys have all done some therapy. It's like the way you guys talk to each other and like you're breaking down issues like within the group is like, just shows a level of emotional intelligence that you guys all have. And it's like very interesting to hear you guys like, just address issues and talk to each other in this fashion. I was like, oh my god, this is like great. Like, even though you guys might be going at each other, it's not like fuck you. I mean, it's not like dumb, you know. It's like you guys are doing it in at a different level.
That's very sweet of you to say, because I mean, sometimes you do want to go dumb. I will say, every one of those boys, the most respect for, the most love for, the things we shared have always going to be a part of who I am as a person. And we have people that are like woven into your life like that, where like I may never talk to Jacob again, which is not true. I will definitely talk to him, but he will never not be a part of me, if that makes it as gay
sure,
as that
yeah,
sounds
yeah.
You
no,
know
yeah,
what I mean,
if you guys went through time together, it's made you guys who you
yeah. And
formative time in your life right now through comedy, with comedy.
Yeah, very formative. And so, I mean, he's so talented, man. 300,000 on TikTok, and it's not a fluke. He did it on Vine before. Like, there's something just stupid about who he is as a person that people want to tune into. They're drawn into it. And if he feeds that by feeding the weird parts of his brain, I think he's going to be famous, you know, within the decade for sure. Like,
is that your goal, to be famous?
It's not to be famous. It's to, I want to be a comic, you know? And
do you see it into some kind of way of being of service? Just like, you know,
I want to talk about, I want to talk about
your life.
Truth on stage, man. Yeah, like yeah. I want, there's something about comedy where you are able to talk about difficult things because you're able to diffuse things with punchlines. So that's very tricky. And then two, you're the MC. All right. People came there to see you. You're controlling the crowd. Like, you're the person that they're listening to. And so if you can speak true things about difficult subjects, like, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful add to society. So it's so difficult. I'm not there yet. I want to be like that is a very pretentious goal, but that's the goal for me, is to be that person. Is to tell the stories, is to ask the questions, and to, you know, hold people accountable.
People accountable. Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, the first person I need to hold accountable is myself. Always, right? Have that internal jihad first. And then.
Wow. Okay.
What?
Just jihad is a
loaded word.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, that's what the term was used for first, you know, is just to eliminate the evil within inside yourself. So yeah. Fucking Google it, man.
I was just thinking about it. I mean, it's, yeah, like I said, it's loaded, so
sure.
Yeah, no, you got to get going here soon. How are you going to get over to the
Lyft, baby? I don't have no car. I will not make dude, Lyft drivers have not been talking lately, and it's been a fucking godsend. I appreciate them. I give them a better tip.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right, so let's do some lightning round questions here. Appreciate you giving me your time.
No, thank you for coming.
Doesn't have to be a... Did you say thank you for coming?
No, I said thank you for having me.
Oh, I thought they said thank you for coming. That's funny. All right, yeah, it doesn't have to be one word answer, you know, just but the first thing off the top of your head, okay?
Sure.
All meant to be in fun. All right.
Okay.
Who do you think you are?
Just a guy that's loud in Navajo.
What makes you so great?
I have an ability to listen to you and to make you feel heard.
Is Navajo like what you identify as?
Yeah.
What does being Navajo mean to you?
It means being above this land, this Dinenta, and making sure that it's honored and cared for.
Are you an artist?
Yes.
What is art?
An expression of feeling.
What gives you the right?
Because I'm goddamn indigenous, all right? Fuck you, you goddamn honkies. I am still here. We are still here. We've been here for time and memoriam. We've been here. We will be here. Thank you. My name is Joshua. I'll see you later. Next question.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, that angry yelling.
That's right. That's what it sounds like.
What's your problem?
Oh, man. I'm fucking pretentious and an asshole.
Does life imitate art, or does art imitate life?
Art imitates life. What the fuck? Of course it's that way.
Pie or cake?
Cake. But it has to be tiramisu. Is that not a cake? Interesting.
I don't know. I mean, it's got cake parts.
Tiramisu with espresso. That's my favorite dessert.
Wow.
That and tres leches.
How European.
And tres leches. That's the other one. Okay.
Yeah. You got that in there. What's your love language?
Cake.
How do you find meaning in your life?
I look at the ones that I love and see that they love me back, and it makes me feel whole.
What is good art to you?
Things that are true.
Is it important for you to make good art?
Very.
So everything's true that you say on stage?
No. And I'm an imperfect person. And
I know that's what's so hard about comedy. If like you want to do that, and this is like not the right medium all the time.
Do the work every day.
To what?
No, until you're dead.
Do what work?
The capital T.
Oh, where is the line between creativity and insanity?
When we start hurting people.
You think you're better than me?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that did not take long for me to say either.
This is over. All right. Thank you so much for being here. Appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
I can probably give you a ride to the South Club if you want it. Yes, I would. Oh, I appreciate you doing this. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, where can people find you? This is your time to do your plugs, baby.
Sure. At Danger Emerson on the Instagram, at Dead Room Comedy. You can check out our YouTube. It's pretty cool. Got a bunch of sketches up there. Otherwise, Dessert with Dead Room, if you'd like to listen to Four Boys Be Emotionally Intelligent. And thank you, Left Hand, Right Brain, for having me on.
Thank you. I will say, I do let the guests sing us off however they see fit. I will say, Wakanda forever, be excellent to each other. And then, the culmination of this whole podcast for you. Go ahead.
Yeah. I feel like this is the beginning of a good acquaintanceship.
Thank you. Me too. All right. Peace.